بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, last night in the Taraweeh Salah we heard the 26th juz being recited. And here in Surah Al-Ahqaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws a parable of the two groups that will appear in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As far as those who will accept the message of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are concerned, and the second group being those who will reject and be ungrateful for the message of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah mentions these two groups, and the example that is put forth is that two children. The first child is a righteous child, an obedient child. He becomes the coolness to the eyes of his parents. He makes dua for his parents. And the second is that child who is disobedient. He disobeys the parents. He does not listen to them, despite them pleading with him and making dua for him, but he still wishes to go his own way, and he doesn't bother about what they say to him. So these are two groups or two types of children, and of course every parent would prefer the first type of child, that child who is obedient, that child who is the coolness to the eyes of the parent. Likewise, in the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, these two groups will exist. That group which will become the coolness of the eyes of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and that group that will disobey and go against Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So here Allah says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا, that we instructed man to treat his parents kindly in a good manner. And then the motivation for this, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا, his mother carried him with difficulty. She gave birth to him with difficulty. وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا, and this difficulty lasted for a lengthy period of time. His entire period in the womb of the mother, and thereafter his breastfeeding period, was approximately 30 months. Generally, the period for childbirth, or the period in which the child would remain in the womb, is approximately 9 months, and thereafter 2 years are given for breastfeeding. So here, this is rounded off to 30 months. حتى إذا بلغ أشده وبلغ 40 سنة. Now regarding this first child, Allah says that when he reaches the age of physical strength, أشده, when he now has physical and mental strength, وبلغ 40 سنة, and he reaches the age of 40. This is generally when a person peaks as far as physical strength and mental capabilities are concerned. Before the age of 40, a person in his teens or his early 20s, then physically he may be very strong, but mentally, as far as his intellect is concerned, he has not yet reached his peak. And then when a person now is 50, 60, 70 years old, he may gain wisdom, he may be intelligent, but physically he has weakened. So the sweet spot between the two is generally around the age of 40. Physically a person is strong, mentally his capabilities are at its peak. So when he reaches this age, he now says, قَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيْ. He says, O Allah, grant me the tawfiq, the ability to be grateful for your favors upon me and for your favors upon my parents. So he makes shukr on his own behalf and on behalf of his parents. وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. And O Allah, give me tawfiq and ability to do those actions that will be pleasing to you. وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي, and make my progeny righteous. إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, I have turned to you in tawbah, and I am from those who submit before you. So despite being at the peak of his powers, physically, mentally, emotionally, still he attributes everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes dua to Allah. He shows his humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding this type of a child, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ نَتَقَبَّلُ عَنْهُمْ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا, that these are the people whom we accept the good deeds that they do. وَنَتَجَاوَزُ عَنْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ, and we overlook their evil deeds. Fi ashabi al-jannah, and they will be amongst the dwellers of Jannah. Wa'ad as-sidqi alladhi kanu yu'adun, this is a true promise which has been given to them. So this is the first category, the first type of person from the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The second child Allah mentions, walladhi qala li walidayhi uffil lakuma, that child who when he grows up and he is at the peak of his powers, he says to his parents, woe be to you, uffil lakuma, ata'idanini an ukhraj wa qad khalati al-qurun min qabli, are you threatening me with regard to resurrection, whereas many generations have passed before me? You keep on reminding me of life after death, you remind me of accountability, but so many generations have passed before me. وَهُمَا يَسْتَغِيثَانِ اللَّهَ وَيْلَكَ آمِنْ. And his parents seek the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cry to Allah that please guide our child. And then they say to him, وَيْلَكَ آمِنْ, that woe be to you, believe in Allah. إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ, the promise of Allah is true. But his response, فَيَقُولُ مَا هَذَا إِلَّا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ, he says that all of this, these are just tales and fables of the former people. Those who came before you, they made up all of these stories, and there's no such a thing as life after death, and qiyamah, and hisab kitab, accountability. There's no such a thing as this. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَوْلُ فِي أُمَمٍ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. Allah says, these type of people, they are counted amongst a group that had passed before them. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا خَاسِرِينَ, who were complete and total losers. So these two groups that a person will find in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that group that will resemble the first child, who is a pleasure to the eyes of his parents, coolness to the eyes of the parents, he makes dua for them, favors upon him. Likewise, you will have those people who will appreciate the favors of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They will make dua, they will send durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they will be righteous people. And then the second group, like the second child, who despite the best efforts of the parent, doesn't want to listen, doesn't want to accept the warnings given by the parent. Likewise, you will find from the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, also they will be that group who will not heed the warnings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And thereafter we commenced with Surah Muhammad, and thereafter with Surah Al-Fath. Surah Al-Fath, Al-Fath means victory. And this surah speaks about the great victory that was given to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, where he finally, after many years, conquered Makkah Mukarramah, what is known as Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. Very briefly, leading up to it, here Allah speaks about Bay'atul Ridwan. Bay'atul Ridwan, the pledge of allegiance that was taken by Sahaba radiallahu anhum upon the hands of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What had happened? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in Madina Munawwara, and in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, the sixth year after Hijrah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sees a dream. And in this dream, he sees that he is making tawaf around the Baytullah. And he interprets this to mean that Allah wants him to go for Umrah. So he sets off with approximately 1,500 sahaba, and they don ihram, and they now enter the haram boundary, and they proceed in the direction of Makkah Mukarramah. We know that the haram boundary for Makkah Mukarramah, if a person is coming from Madina Munawwara, is very close to Madina. What we normally call Bir Ali. Generally, if a person is going from Madina to Makkah, then the taxi will stop at Bir Ali. There's a masjid there. Person will read it 2 rakats, tahiyatul ihram. So the boundary starts very close to Madina Munawwara. So ihram has to be put on before this. And they set off in this condition, in the state of ihram. And we know the entire incident took place. They were then not permitted to enter Makkah Mukarramah. They were at a place called Hudaybiyah, and they set up camp. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sent somebody forth to see what was happening in Makkah Mukarramah, and there they made it very clear that we will not accept you and your sahaba to enter. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then sends Uthman radiallahu anhu, thinking that the people of Makkah know him, and he is family to them. They have a soft spot for him because of his humble nature. So perhaps they may, he can speak on our behalf, and they may then allow us to enter. Uthman radiallahu anhu goes, and they say to him, "Oh Uthman, we know you, we know your character, we know your conduct, you are our relative, so we will permit you to make tawaf, but we will not allow Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to come." Uthman radiallahu anhu says that I will not make tawaf until Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not permitted. Nevertheless, some lengthy discussion takes place between them and Uthman radiallahu anhu. In the interim, the rumor then spreads in the Muslim camp that Uthman has been murdered. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then at this point takes the pledge of allegiance from Sahaba. And they now vow that we will avenge the death of Uthman radiallahu anhu. They take this pledge upon the hands of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But then eventually Uthman radiallahu anhu returns. They realize this was just a rumor. But regarding this particular pledge, Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ. And this shows us the great status of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that verily those who pledge allegiance to you are in fact pledging allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. It is as though Allah's hand is upon their hands. And then Allah speaks about breaking one's pledge, one's promise. فَمَن نَكَثَ فَإِنَّمَا يَنْكُثُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ. If a person breaks his pledge and promise, then this will be to his own detriment. وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِمَا عَاهَدَ عَلَيْهُ اللَّهُ. That person who will fulfill the covenant, the promise, the pledge he has made with Allah, فَسَيُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, Allah will give him a very great reward. So this was Bay'atul Ridwan that had taken place, and thereafter we read Suratul Hujurat, and one alternate name for Suratul Hujurat is Suratul Akhlaq wal Adab. That surah that speaks about character and conduct. There's no time is already up, but various acts of adab, of etiquette, how should a person conduct himself with regard to avoiding backbiting, avoiding spying, avoiding suspicion. A person should not find fault with one another. We should not mock one another. All of these are highlighted in this particular surah. And they say this particular surah, if this has to be implemented, then society will flourish. If these teachings are neglected and effort is not made in this regard, then this will lead to ills within society. And we can see in today's time also how many problems arise just as the result of backbiting, carrying tales, spying on one another, having evil thoughts regarding others. Hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, O group of people who have taken iman upon their tongues, but iman has not entered their hearts as yet, ensure that you do not look for faults in your Muslim brothers and sisters. So, when a person now makes this his habit, he keeps on looking for the faults and flaws of others, for the mistakes of others, unnecessarily. He's waiting for a person to slip, and then he'll point it out, and he'll broadcast it, he'll amplify it. Then the warning in this hadith is that iman is on your tongue, but it has not entered your heart. You don't have true iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.